This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. We are kicking off the second hour of the show. The phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by listeners like you on our AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can go there and you can get signed up for as little as $5 a month, and it helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. If you appreciate the work that we do here, you can contribute directly to that work of spreading the message of freedom and peace and liberty and cryptocurrency every single night on broadcast radio and online as well. You get some perks like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has the full radio show without the recorded commercials. And you can do that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
So if you're just tuning in, we've spent the first hour of the show. We're going to get into economic frustrations that Americans are having right now. The American people are pissed at the government, number one, apparently. There's a Gallup poll that we're going to share with you coming up here. But also, they're upset about inflation, number two, understandably. Of course, the government caused the inflation, so that's all kind of one answer. But we want to get deeper into that. But first, we've been talking about a case that is kind of near and dear to our hearts here on Free Talk Live, considering we were one of the earliest adopters of the library protocol for our video archives. We've been doing video streaming on the show for, I don't know, most of the last decade, I think. Maybe the whole last decade.
I know I've been using libraries since before. I mean, I lived in Mississippi when I started using libraries.
Wow.
I mean, since 2016, I think.
Yeah, I think we were around that time frame, 2016, 2017, somewhere in there. We found out about library because it was created here in New Hampshire by a Free State Project early mover, Jeremy Kaufman. Free State Project, of course, is the migration of libertarian activists to come to New Hampshire and try to make things better here. And it was introduced to us and, you know, seemed like a no-brainer, like this is a great idea. We can decentralize video sharing and other things. You can also upload audio to library. It's a media sharing protocol.
PDFs? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Protocol, anything. Meaning that it is the lowest level sort of programming that there is, basically, like HTTP, that thing that you see in front of every web URL that stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, I think. I think that's
what
it is. And that's a protocol. The P on that is protocol. FTP is File Transfer Protocol. So the internet is made up of these protocols.
Which is just procedures on how things communicate with one another.
Yeah, basically. So anybody can write software that uses the library protocol to facilitate people in uploading and sharing and downloading media files. And so it decentralizes that. It takes it out of the hands of the big tech corporations like YouTube or, you know, you fill in the blank, Twitter, whatever, and it puts it in the hands of the individual. It decentralizes the power. And so that, of course, is what Bitcoin and the blockchain did for money in 2009. And so what library does is it takes that power of blockchain and it decentralizes media sharing. Sort of like Bitcoin decentralized the power of money, that library does the same thing for the power of publishing, right?
Yes.
So that's, of course, why it's being targeted by the federal government, why the SEC is trying to destroy the Library Corporation and, at this point, has basically succeeded at destroying the Library Corporation. I mean, we're basically in the process right now of the gutting or the quote-unquote disgorgement, which is the actual legal term that they're using here to describe what they're about to do to the Library Corporation. The definition, now this isn't from a legal dictionary, this is just dictionary.com, of to disgorge is to eject or throw out from the throat, mouth, or stomach to vomit forth.
Wow, you were right, Ian, because whenever we were in court, I was like, what does that mean? And Ian said, sounds like throwing up.
Yeah. To definition two is to surrender or yield something, especially something illicitly obtained. That's going to be the more legal definition. To three, discharge forcefully or as a result of force. So they are literally reaching into the belly of library and they are pulling any life that they can, anything that remains in this corporation, any value that they can suck out like a vampire. They're going to just take all of
it. But that's not the penalty. Because
no, that's not even the penalty phase.
Yeah, because they own that. They, you know, they deserve that from library.
And it's obvious why the government would want to do this. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, COVID-19 was a thing that happened. And during the era of COVID-19, the pandemic at its height, you weren't allowed to say something that conflicted with the CDC mm-hmm. or its recommendations online. Facebook would kick you off. Twitter would kick you off. YouTube
they
would
still
kick
will.
You off. I don't know if they're still actively...
We got a strike a few weeks ago. We were off streaming for a whole week because of it.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody else I listened to, he is on Odyssey, and I listened to him on Odyssey, but he also does YouTube. And just the other day, he was like, I only post any of my videos that mention, you know, the ouchie, which is, he's talking about the vaccine, on Odyssey, because otherwise I'll get my third strike on YouTube.
Off.
Yeah. So... that's the world we live in right now. And apply that to any other issue, like the Ukraine war between Russia and Ukraine. If you speak out against Ukraine or whatever, if you point out that there are Nazis in Ukraine, it's just a matter of time before this apparatus that is the censorship apparatus, the ability of the government. And we know because of the Twitter files, look, I hate Elon Musk as much as he, well, I don't hate him. I dislike Elon Musk as much as anyone out there. However, he did release the Twitter files, which mm-hmm. showed that the government came to Twitter and said, hey, look, we want you to get rid of this content.
Over and over.
And this is also happening on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all of these other places. Library, as an institution, as an idea, is immune to that. You can't go to library and say, we want you to take off this content, because there is no them to take it off. The content's there.
When the European Union said that the RT channel, the Russia Today television channel, had to be banned across the continent of Europe, Odyssey said, you can get it over here.
Yep.
Like they pointed out, oh yeah, we've got that.
Because library can't ban RT even if they wanted to.
Well, they can't ban RT's... posts on library, but technically Odyssey could.
Odyssey could, but library can't.
Right, but as a platform, Odyssey did not.
Right.
They did not follow what the world was, quote-unquote, doing to RT. And, in fact, they pointed out, well, we've got that. Because Odyssey has live streaming, which is more centralized, right? Like, that's you've got to have a content delivery network. There's some decentralized alternatives for live streaming, but they're clunky and they don't work so great right now. So, like, Odyssey is not library. And that's one of the points that was made in the hearing today is Odyssey should not be subject to a disgorgement or a penalty or a injunction as a quote unquote successor to Odyssey or to library, because Odyssey isn't library. It is reliant on many centralized services. It relies on the dollar for being paid. Odyssey is a platform. Odyssey is a business. Is it using the library blockchain? Yeah, it is. But it's not the critical aspect of its business.
It could still work without library.
If it's immaterial, whether or not it uses library, like Google Chrome didn't create HTTP.
That's right.
It didn't create HTML5 or whatever version of HTML they're on now, probably 7 or 8 or whatever. It didn't create any of these things. And the internet, the websites that you can visit when you go to google.com and you type in something using Chrome or Firefox or whatever, Firefox and Chrome can render those websites just fine, but Firefox didn't create any of those protocols or any of those standards. It just uses them.
Similarly, Odyssey, even though some of the programmers might have been involved in the creation of the library protocol.
I'm sure some people who work on Google Chrome or Firefox helped
they may have.
Conceive HTML 8.0 or whatever version they're on now.
So that is the big question that still remains. The judge did indicate that he is not likely to rule that Odyssey will be subject as a successor, so they will not be subject to the injunction. That's what he said at the end of the day today, but he still hasn't made the ruling. He's still waiting to see what the remaining discovery shows, which he has yet to actually order. He may still not order the discovery, but he sounds like he's leaning towards that. Even though library pointed out that they probably can't even comply with the discovery because there's literally no one left with which to comply. Library's employees are out of a job. There's no more money to pay them. The SEC has ruined this business to the point where it can't even afford to pay people to comply with the SEC.
Well, that's what the SEC wanted.
Yeah. Well, now the SEC wants more. You see, that's the whole point of the union.
Yeah, it doesn't want to just destroy library. It wants to make an example and make sure that no one else ever has the audacity to create a censorship-proof platform in the future.
You make another point here, Aria, and that reminds me of something that that I did take a note on that I wanted to point out here, that the judge in this particular case, oh, man.
What was it about? Maybe you can jog my memory.
The SEC... Sorry.
Seems like it had to do with the SEC wanting to set an example
of
library.
Yeah, something about them setting an example, and I'm sorry, I thought I had it.
They said
here
they need to have enough penalties.
Deterrence.
Yeah, deterrence.
Deterrence. That was the word, deterrence. So the judge said that he thinks this... Because library was not... quote unquote dishonest. They were upfront about whatever they were doing, but they allegedly broke the securities law.
Whatever that is.
The Securities Act.
Right. They said, oh, well, you were supposed to register with the SEC that y'all were selling a security. And of course, if you do that, that means that you can't actually sell to anything but accredited investors, as I understand it. And an accredited investor is somebody that's got over $1 million to spend. So basically, it would completely have, you know, prohibited anyone from buying into the library token if they were to do it, quote unquote, legally, unless they were super rich people, which is ridiculous. But because, you know, if you want to decentralize things, you don't just sell it to the super rich, right? So anyway, the judge said, okay, yeah, you know, I don't think they should get more than a tier one penalty. But because of the need for, quote unquote, deterrence, the judge said today that another company that tried to do the same thing that Library did, which is to say, sell a token representing, allegedly representing that it might go up in value, therefore it's a security. If you didn't register it as a security, then they come after you in the same way that they would come after Library here. The judge said that company would not be looking at a Tier 1 penalty. Because everybody's supposed to know about this obscure court case that happened in a New Hampshire federal court, like anybody that just goes and rolls up their own token tonight, or this week or whatever, launches a website and says they got some new thing that they want to promote, they're supposed to know what happened to Library. So
yeah, I never heard of Library until I met you guys.
Right. So how is everyone supposed to know what's going on in this court case? That's how important these judges think of themselves. Like, the odds that somebody who's a technologist-type person, somebody who's a programmer, somebody who's got a great idea for a token, is going to have a history of the court cases of the SEC's enforcement and prosecution division, is going to have some sort of knowledge about that before they decide to roll out their token and announce it to the world and say, hey, I think you should buy my token because I'm a really cool programmer and I'm going to make this really neat thing and it could go up in value. Boom! Now you're offering an unlicensed security or unregistered security, but oh, because Library went before you. Now you don't get the Tier 1 penalty. You're going to get a Tier 2 or a Tier 3 or whatever the hell penalty they want to give you.
It's sad that that's how laws are actually written. Laws aren't, like, written in a book, put out into public, and alerted to the public so the public is like, this is the new law. It's just, this was decided in a court case you probably didn't hear about.
Right.
And now it's law, and there is no legislator involved. The freaking SEC unelected bureaucrat and a judge. Dimwit judge.
The only way you'd hear about this case is if you are a total crypto news junkie and you're paying attention to the news of crypto and you're looking at all the details about this particular case. Then you would know about it. But the odds that you're going to be a, you know, a programmer who's got your nose to the grindstone, you're creating something you think's amazing, and you just want to introduce it to the world, now you're going to get punished harsher because Library already got punished, and you should have known about the Library case. It was absolutely absurd.
Yeah, and what they're thinking is, oh, well, you know, before you start selling your token or whatever, you should hire an attorney and get your attorney, and your attorney should be the expert. But look, imagine how much technology, how much innovation we would lose if someone had to stop and go, wait a minute, I better consult an attorney before I invent the automobile or the automatic transmission or the cell phone or whatever. Some of these, you've got to free the human spirit to create things.
Yeah, it didn't help in the Crypto 6 case. I did hire an attorney.
Yeah.
And that attorney wrote a 4-page paper as to why the money transmitter laws don't apply. Didn't help.
Yeah, sadly.
Didn't care. Jury didn't care. So, you know, what good would it do to hire an attorney in this particular case? All the attorney's going to tell you to do is, whoa, you don't want to do that. And then they'll just talk you out of it, right?
Maybe.
Or they'll talk you into spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to hire them to take you through some sort of application or whatever with the SEC and jump through hoops that you maybe didn't have to legally jump through.
And then the SEC doesn't give you an answer anyway, and they
won't tell you how to. Yeah, they won't tell you how to jump the hoops, which is what Library was trying to get them to do the whole time. It was, all right, y'all say you have hoops, so what are they? Tell us what the hoops are. Tell us how we can jump through them. Oh, you won't do that. Oh, okay, well, I guess we'll just try, and okay, that didn't work. Now we're going to go out of business.
Ambiguity functions on behalf of the government. Right. The more vague they are, the more ways they can interpret their law to apply to more and more people.
Yeah, it's disgusting what they're doing to Library. But the takeaway here is, as Jeremy Kaufman pointed out in his Twitter post on Library, was that had they been less forthcoming, it actually would have helped their case. Had they not turned over all of the information that they had turned over to the SEC with the idea of, hey, let's be transparent. Hey, let's tell the SEC everything that we can. We're being honest here. We're an honest
company.
You never
want to talk to the cops. Just because it's the SEC doesn't change anything. Don't talk to the cops.
They thought it was going to help them. They thought that they thought they could get through this alive.
Yeah.
And they're dead. Like, this is literally dead man walking. This company isn't even breathing at this point. It has no life left. And the SEC says that's not enough. The fact that you're lying there on the ground, coughing up blood, you're about to take your last breath. No, now we're going to plunge a knife into your chest and twist it around a little bit just so we can disgorge as much of your life onto the pavement
and
as we possibly can.
Deter other entrepreneurs from making money that we don't get a cut of.
That's what this is all about.
And
just like it was with Ross Ulbricht.
Not even just one cut of one company's. It's not just about one cut of Library's money. It's about deterring people from prospering in the future so that they have to be reliant on the government.
Yeah. The best thing you can do at this point, if you're an entrepreneur in the crypto space, is to leave the United States.
Sadly.
I don't know where the best place to go is. That's the other question is, where can you go where there are not insane psychopaths like the United States government people? Because the government people exist everywhere. But the question is, are there government people who are at least welcoming enough to say, yeah, we like crypto. We understand that if we allow crypto development here, it's actually going to bring in brilliant minds. It's going to bring in brilliant entrepreneurs. It's going to bring in millions of dollars in revenue, new businesses. We need that money. So maybe it's going to be one of these small island nations like St. Kitts or something like that. I don't know. I don't want to go out on a limb. I don't want to tell somebody there's a best place to go. I just know it ain't here. It isn't in the United States.
No, and I would love for it to be one of these islands. But again, you know, when I look at human history and the way the world is right now, I just don't see much real on-the-ground hope for liberty until human beings are colonizing other planets. Well, only then, when we have a planet where we can go and we can make our libertarian society and just never establish a government in the first place, never establish a state in the first place.
Yeah, they're going to come in with their death warships or whatever.
Well, just like they did in the American Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. The advantage then is that there's so much distance between the colony and the home mm-hmm. government that they wouldn't be able to successfully do it. But, I mean, if you were to do it right now, if you were to just take one of these islands, like St. Kitts or whatever, and establish this libertarian paradise, it's relatively easy for them to attack and invade and crush said little island paradise because traveling across the ocean, not a very big deal these days. However, traveling across the planets in those early days, or traveling across space to reach another planet, it's going to be a big deal at first. So
yeah,
they will
they
have that
really
time.
Yeah, but they don't really do that, right? Like, they... I mean,
well, they will. I mean, they sort of do. Like,
for
the European Union came down on Italy a number of years ago because Italy was charging lower corporate taxes. And they were like, no, you're undercutting all the other countries
that are part
of
the EU.
Yeah, but even if they weren't, they would still do it. You can't undercut us because that's driving all of these corporations to you, and now we're not getting a cut of it. So shape up and raise your taxes, or we're going to do something to you.
I don't know.
Differently actually had a pretty interesting story, and I'm not going to remember any of the details because I heard it from him like over a year ago. But there was some island nation owned by, I think, France or Spain, down by South America. And when they wanted to secede, France or Spain was like, no, they tried to send ships down there, but the ships like ran out of gas and it just didn't cost enough money. And this was like in the 2010s. It wasn't like, you know, the 1800s. So they had just turned around.
They turned around.
And yeah, it just wasn't worth the money. So they seceded.
Yeah. And some of these island nations are actually relatively new as far as.
But then it's like the governments around South America could easily just be like, we want that island.
They could.
And the other thing is, what kind of quality of life do you have on some island that is impossible to reach countries?
You could have a huge quality of life if you get enough billionaires or whatever. But, like, look, if 100 of the world's billionaires were like, hey, let's go to this island and let's just not establish a government. We're just billionaires and we're going to take all our money there and all our gold's there. They're not going to have the resources that the United States goes, wow, there's 100 billionaires over there on this island. We can just go take their stuff, and they can't do anything about it. I believe the United States government would. And if they wouldn't, then the Russian government would, or the Chinese government would. And then it's just it's not an arms race at that point. It's just a race to see which one can loot the island first. This is why I think it'll have to be when we're colonizing other planets, because it gives them that space, that enormous distance they have to travel.
I don't know.
I mean, we laugh about it, but it's the future. It's going to happen. Humans are either going to annihilate themselves, or we are going to explore the stars.
Number three would just be like that human beings evolved and changed their way of thinking, because that's where this all starts. It all starts in a way of thinking that you have rights or could possibly gain rights that other people don't have.
I don't have enough faith in humanity, though. I do in human as a concept, and like humanity is this overarching concept, but like 99% of people, they don't want freedom, and they're not going to evolve to want freedom. They're going to continue wanting the state and control over others.
I don't think I buy what you're saying, Arya, that putting more billionaires or whatever on an island is going to make it so the government of the United States or Russia invades that place, because there's already a lot of wealth on these islands. There's already a lot of people who are, you know, millionaires, maybe billionaires. I don't know, right? Like, the banks aren't going to tell you, but, you know, these international banks are located on these islands. There are places where there's certain places in the world that are sort of attractive for what you might call a tax shelter, where people can locate their money and get a, you know, passport down there and places like that. There's a large
community. But the U.S. government did come down on the Cayman Islands and other places like that.
What did they do?
I don't remember the specifics now, but they did, like, this offshore banking thing, they did come down on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but if they had resisted too much, I mean, certainly, maybe they wouldn't have invaded, but they would have stopped just short of that. They would have embargoed the crap out of it.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Mark on a lot, but I think on this subject, he is right, where if you didn't want to comply, then they're just going to cut you off from the international banking system, and then,
could be.
Then what do you do?
Well, we're going to, you know, whether it's an island or whether it's New Hampshire seceding from the United States, I think we're going to find out what's going to happen, because I don't think we're going to need to get people together to move to the moon or some other planet. That's certainly not going to likely happen in our lifetime.
Right.
But we can get enough liberty-minded people together to the same geographic area, and then we'll see what happens, because there are enough people to do that today. And there's more coming up here in a moment. You can join the show and bring up what you want on Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. More fallout in Memphis from the beating death of Tyree Nichols. A seventh Memphis police officer involved in the Nichols traffic stop has been relieved of duty. Memphis Fire Department also announcing today it fired two paramedics who responded to the scene for failing to give proper aid to Nichols. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem today, saying a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is the only path to peace.
We can do so in ways that improve the daily lives of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. And that's crucial to moving toward our enduring goal of Palestinians and Israelis enjoying equal measures.
Blinken also offered condolences for the seven Israelis killed in an attack on a synagogue last week. Winter weather across the middle of the nation being blamed for more than 1,000 flight cancellations today. FlightAware says more than 1,000 flights are canceled. Another 4,100 have been delayed. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, Al, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Are open here. If you want to join the show, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here in the studio tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
I think we can finally move on, unless, Bonnie, you felt like there was some aspect of today's court hearing that regarding library.
No, it's just really sad. The state of entrepreneurship in the United States is just ridiculous and sad. It's nothing like what it should be.
Yeah, it was really it was a sad thing to watch, and it's not over yet. The bloodletting has not yet completed, although it's darn close to being.
I don't even know how people can complain about capitalism in America.
What do you mean?
I don't.
People are like, capitalism this and that, capitalism caused this. But you can't be a capitalist in America at all.
No, they're confused, and I understand, yes. You know, where they're coming from. I disagree with them, and I wish they would listen rather than going, oh, you're evil libertarian capitalist monsters. I look, no, I understand why you think capitalism is what you think it is. Talking to the liberals out there who hate capitalism, I understand. You were brought up by teachers and colleges, by a society that told you capitalism was evil and doing all these evil things, exploiting people. Being racist, being homophobic, being this heteronormative, cis white male patriarchy thing, I understand. But that is not what capitalism is. That's not what the free market is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
What we have here is a system where the government, the state, controls everything, and it picks winners and it picks losers. And the people, you and I, out there listening, working our minimum wage jobs, living paycheck to paycheck, we are always the ones chosen to be the losers for the benefit of, like, Lockheed Martin, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, yeah, Tesla, Twitter less so at the moment, but Tesla, SpaceX, NASA, all of these corporations and quasi-governmental agencies, the government is looting us. Look at what happened with Pfizer. Through the COVID-19 pandemics, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna you probably never heard of prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
No, I never had.
They're making higher profits than they've ever recorded in their history. And you go, oh, the COVID-19 shot was free, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. The government was raising people's taxes, and it was inflating the currency, and it was giving money directly to those evil pharmaceutical companies. And I shouldn't have to remind people about this. 5 years ago, you knew, liberals out there listening to me say this, you knew that Pfizer was evil.
Yeah.
You knew that Johnson & Johnson was evil. You didn't want to be forced to pay for them, to line the...
What happened?
Yeah, to line the pockets of their CEOs while they're buying $80 billion yachts. We knew this.
How did that change?
COVID, they got scared. COVID-19 came along.
So all they had to do, the government just had to trot out some guy in a lab coat, Dr. Yep. Fauci, and he had to just make some claims, and then all of a sudden you can trust the big pharmaceutical corporations. It makes absolutely no sense. There's no critical thinking here at all. That just completely went out the window.
And this is just one tiny microcosm of this. This is happening in all manner of industries all over the United States. The pharmaceutical industry in COVID-19 was just the most recent, most obvious example. But it's happening everywhere. We're constantly being looted in order to line the pockets of the ultra-wealthy.
And it's the opposite of progressive. How are we supposed to progress in society if we can't even have actual scientists focusing on finding the truth about the reality of nature? Instead, they're doing the bidding of their people who give them money.
I don't know. It's a broken system, and it's not going to get any better as long as we're allowing the government to continue picking winners and losers.
And it's for profit, by the way. It doesn't matter if it's government-related. Government scientists creating drugs or pharmaceuticals to sell. I mean, aren't liberals supposed to hate for-profit things? That's it's a evil, perverted version of capitalism.
Well, I don't think they hate for-profit things. I think some of them that probably do.
Some of them hate profits.
Yeah, we probably do have communists out there. But I think if they really sat down and thought of what a profit is, I doubt very many people out there would be like, oh, that's evil, right? Because profit is just getting some sort of resource and making it better, improving it. That's all a profit is. I don't care if it's money or if it's some piece of aluminum that you mold into a statue or whatever. It's just getting A and turning it into B, where B is worth more money. That's all profit is.
Well, the good news, if there is any good news, is that the American people apparently right now are naming the government as the nation's top problem in Gallup's latest poll. According to their own website at news.gallup.com, with high prices persisting, inflation remains the second most cited problem at 15%. People that said the government was the number one problem is 21%. And illegal immigration was at number three at 11%.
So government and inflation combined make up just over 1 in 3, right? 36% is the number I came up with.
Yep.
Okay. Considering inflation is a product of government, I'm going to lump it all together.
Now, what's not clear yet, at least in this story, is exactly how this question was answered. Because usually when they ask questions about what's important to people, they don't limit them to just one answer, which is what it seems like they might have done here, because the total number of the responses totals up to, I'm pretty sure, 100%. Whereas in a lot of these surveys, they ask people, you know, check yes if these are important to you, right? That way you could get, I think it's been like as many as 7 or 8 or whatever out of 10 Americans think inflation is a huge problem. But that's not being reflected here because of the way this polling was done.
I don't know. I think it's kind of more interesting this way, because now we know that, like, that many people chose it as, like, the number one.
The poll's January 2nd through 22 field period included a 15-vote process in which Republicans, who now hold a slim majority in the U.S. House of Representatives, ultimately elected Kevin McCarthy to be the Speaker of the House. Revelations about classified government documents found in Joe Biden's private office and home also surfaced while the poll was in the field. Although mentions of the government as the nation's top problem rose 6 points this month to 21%, job approval ratings of Biden and Congress, 41% and 21% respectively, remained flat.
21% for Congress?
That seems a little high, but yeah, that's what it says here.
Look, I don't understand this whole classified document thing going on, and I haven't been paying that much attention to it because I don't really care, but there's something fascinating going on here with the FBI not being beholden to the government or to the president. Like, who exactly is in charge here if the sitting president of the United States can't say, yeah, I'm taking these classified documents home, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't investigate me.
Yeah, there's very clearly some sort of element here that is unanswerable to these elected officials. And I don't care if you want to call it the deep state or, you know, the military-industrial complex or the prison-industrial complex or
puppet
the Illuminati.
Masters.
Yeah, or puppet masters. It's demonstrable at this point that this institution that is more powerful than the President of the United States and unaccountable to the President of the United States exists. It's there. It's going around raiding former presidents and searching the homes of the current president. And if the president's the head of the executive branch, then he's directly in charge of the FBI, or indirectly, because he appoints the person in charge of it. But that's very clearly not the case. The FBI is acting independently to pursue their own boss.
They have an agenda.
Yeah. And that should terrify the hell out of everyone. Who's in charge here if it's not Joe Biden? And look, I don't want Joe Biden in charge of anything either. I don't want him in charge of tying his own shoes. But he's very clearly not in charge of the FBI. So who is?
The question apparently was specifically, what do you think is the most important problem? So yeah, this was a one-choice answer. This wasn't what all the problems are that you're concerned with. What is the most important problem? And the number one answer given, interestingly, by both Republicans and Democrats, was the government is the biggest problem facing the United States. It was 24% of Republicans gave that as the answer, and 18% of Democrats that responded gave that as the answer. So averaging out to 21%.
I mean, they're right, but I'm curious. I would like to know what their reasons are, because I imagine they have very different reasons.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably true. Inflation at 18% of Republicans, 11% of Democrats, followed by immigration at 18%.
Those numbers would be exactly the opposite if we had a Republican president right
now. Yeah, probably true.
Their ire at inflation is not actually due to inflation. It's because they think it's Biden's fault.
Well, and the other thing about it is Democrats are... When I was holding signs from Matt Santastasso, I was hanging out with Democrat old ladies all day. They were literally saying to each other... inflation is just the cause of greedy corporations raising prices.
Yeah, they're crazy. But that is what they think, right? They think that...
You didn't correct them, I take it.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were talking amongst themselves.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to say anyway?
It's literally, those people
are lost
causes.
They're going to die believing that.
Oh my God, those like four ladies I was hanging out with that day, I was just being nice to them because they were just complete lost causes.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, plus, who wants to take up an argument where it's one versus four, right?
Well, and plus, that's the good point that Bonnie's making here, is you got to be able to pick your... not just your battles here, but your targets or your prospects, right? Like a woman in her 70s who is probably not going to be around for another decade at the best in many cases is not going to be the best target for your recruitment, right?
Well, she's not going to listen to any of my long-winded explanations of economics, which we'd have to go to the basics for. But I did get her on my side about one thing, and she said she never thought about that before. Somebody came outside and was telling me I had to move my signs, and I made him show me the actual law.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I moved my signs. I don't really think I was in the wrong, but I said to her when he was away, I was like, yeah, I wasn't just going to do it just because he's a government official and he says for me to do it. I mean, government officials lie. And she literally went, oh, I never thought of that before.
Wow.
I can't imagine living such a cushy, comfortable life where the government has never been my enemy or, never been antagonistic toward me that I could really believe.
At age 70.
Yeah, that the government, or it would just never occur to me that the government wouldn't lie. How cushy of a... Cops lie all the time. How can a person reach the age of 70 without knowing, people in government lie? They probably lie more than the average person.
Absolutely.
And you know how I got into, a conversation with her and was able to, get her on my side at all? Is that I said something to the effect of, she asked me not really if I was okay, but she was kind of being nice to me after, like, it seemed like I got yelled at. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm not going to let some man tell me just because, and, you know, she was just like, yeah, yeah, you know what
that
I keep saying, but, you know, then I also put through in the government worker part.
Nice.
See, I like that. That's good. I'm not going to let some man tell me this. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Gallup also regularly tracks Americans' ratings of national economic conditions as excellent, good, only fair, or poor, as well as their views on whether the economy is getting better or worse. Currently, more than 4 in 5 U.S. adults rate economic conditions in the country as only fair, 38%, or poor, 45%, with few describing conditions as excellent, only 2%, or good, 15%. So you've got only 17% of Americans describe the economic conditions in the country as good or excellent.
I can
everybody
see that.
Else is lower.
Given that, what, like 60-something percent of people are living paycheck to paycheck, those people, the people living paycheck to paycheck, they're not going to characterize the economy
as good
or even fair, because it's not. They're barely making ends meet, and if they have to suddenly buy a new tire or if their alternator goes out on their car or whatever, they don't have the money to pay for it. So it's not fair to them.
There was you mentioned the people living paycheck to paycheck. There was a story in the news today about that. 64% are living paycheck to paycheck, including people making $100,000 a year.
Wow.
That's what they're saying.
Well, I don't understand. People just up their spending to whatever they're making. Me and
that's the problem.
I won't say who, but somebody I was talking to this week who rents houses, is a landlord. He said that it wouldn't matter if everybody's money went to zero and everybody got to start, everybody got handed the same amount of money, you know, those people that he rents to would be broke immediately because
they'd be broke.
They spend as much money as they have in their bank account.
Yep.
In a lot of cases, I think that's true, but in the case of these people who are making $100,000 and stuff like that, I suspect a big portion of it is that the only place where they can get a job where they make that kind of money also has a very, very high standard of living.
That's a good
or cost of living is the word I'm looking for, where they're probably paying $4,000 a month in rent.
But they're probably also paying way too much for the car they drive,
sure.
And they probably got into a house they can't afford. And that's the problem. As Bonnie points out, people do tend to spend to what they earn, and it's more of a financial intelligence problem than it is a problem with being able to make money.
Well, saving money isn't fun, right? But going out to that whatever,
the bar,
that's fun.
Yeah,
the
another
club.
Thing is, it's not like we live in a society where money is run in a way where it's actually fair. Like it, you just have this sense of this just isn't fair. I shouldn't have to work every single day of my life, and I'm, you know, working till I go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and I also don't have any money to do anything fun. It's subconsciously, you know, something's up, and what's actually happening is your money's being devalued. Don't know that.
Finally, here, the resulting Economic Confidence Index, which summarizes responses to the current conditions and their outlook items, has a theoretical range of plus 100 if all respondents say the economy is excellent or good and that it's getting better, to negative 100 if all say it's poor and getting worse. The latest negative 39 reading is identical to last month, but above the negative 58 score from last June amid high gas prices and the record low of negative 72 in October of 2008 during the what they're calling the Great Recession. So right now it is at a negative 39. It was last in the positive at, looks like just barely in the positive in April of 2021, where it was like 2. It was 2%. Or 2. Like, it was not a percent, it's just like 2.
That's 2 between negative 100 and 100.
Correct.
So it's so just above average, yeah.
And then the plus 41, I don't know if you would call it average, because the average would be something else. But plus 41 was the last high in the last... Since 2006, the high since 2006, the high was 6. It then went down to negative 72 in the end of 2008. It sort of slowly worked its way all the way back up to plus 41 in the month of February of 2020. And then after COVID, it struck downwards to negative 33 and has been down in the negatives, only peaking up above zero for just a couple months.
Well, my gut tells me that most people are pessimistic. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I would speculate that most people are more inclined Yeah, all things being equal, I suspect more people are more inclined to say that things are bad than they are that things are good.
Well, certainly under the circumstances,
regardless of the circumstances, I suspect that out of 100 people, if you all ask them their opinions about a given thing, more than half of them will have a negative opinion.
Well, the point of this survey is to say that there are times when more than half have a positive opinion,
right,
and there are times when more than half have a negative opinion.
Right.
We're in a time when more than half would have a negative opinion
right
now.
I'm just saying I don't think that has anything to do with the facts themselves. I think people are just pessimistic.
But if they were mostly more than half,
not all the time. I mean, it's a generalization.
Okay.
Certainly you can find people. I mean, if things are really great, even the worst pessimist isn't going to be like, oh, this is terrible. I should just kill myself, right?
All right. So you've got a story, Aria, about sort of related to this, about how people are handling things out there. They're... Buyers are not having a good time, right? Eggs are over $5 a carton right now.
I think I keep seeing that, but I don't really buy a lot of eggs anymore. So I'm,
what they are.
Aren't they like a dollar a carton on average?
That's the old days.
Is that what they used to be?
That's like a year ago.
That's only 1 year ago?
Yeah, they've gone up like 4 times in the last year or so.
Does anyone know why?
Well, they're claiming it's avian flu.
Okay.
That is supposedly devastating the supplies of fresh eggs in the United States.
Also supposedly egg-laying hen factory burned down recently. But I bet that didn't
just
even happen.
Just one factory isn't going to...
I bet that didn't even happen. I bet it was just like, now people will be like, oh, that's why the price is going up, because they don't know what inflation is. That's what the...
Right. Obviously, inflation's a factor, and the big claim is that it's avian flu. That's the other big factor.
So the
And as we learned recently, there's a prohibition on importing eggs into the United States.
Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be a prohibition on one of the few things that could actually make this situation better?
Right. So you cannot... They actually literally are seizing eggs at the southern border.
Why?
Because
it's prohibited.
No, but why is it prohibited right
because
now?
Because of competition. They don't want competition coming in from down south.
Is it expressly that, or is it because of avian flu?
You mean expressly?
Well, they would
no.
They would never say that. They would never say, "Oh, we don't want the competition from the Mexicans."
Well, no, that's the claim is that, well, we don't want avian flu coming from
that's
Mexico.
What I'm asking. Okay.
That's the excuse.
It's for health and safety.
Total BS.
Yeah. So the engine of the U.S. economy, consumer spending, is starting to sputter, according to the Wall Street Journal. Retail purchases have fallen.
Just starting? Wow.
That's what they say. Retail purchases have fallen in 3 of the past 4 months, one of which, it's worth remembering,
was
December.
Yeah.
So retail purchases falling in December, that's kind of a
bad sign.
Yeah. Spending on services, including rent, haircuts, and the bulk of bills, was flat in December after adjusting for inflation. The worst monthly reading in nearly a year, sales of existing homes in the U.S. fell last year to the lowest level since 2014.
Really?
The auto industry posted its worst sales year in more than a decade. It's a stark turnaround from the second half of 2020, when Americans lifted the economy out of a pandemic downturn. When do they think the pandemic happened?
2020, I thought.
I thought it continued on until like at least early mid 2021.
Yeah,
that was all the propaganda was supposed to be
propaganda.
Like, it's still going on.
But they're like, in the second half of 2020, America turned the economy around, according to the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what 2020 they experienced, but the one I saw was full of lockdowns.
There were lockdowns that whole year.
Helping the U.S. avoid what many economists worried would be a prolonged slump. Imagine having... lacking the self-awareness to... They're writing an article about how crappy the economy is while simultaneously saying that the U.S. managed to avoid a prolonged economic slump.
Ooh,
like,
okay.
How crazy are they? The existence of this article contradicts that very statement.
Wow.
Consumers snapped up exercise bikes, televisions, and laptop computers for school children during lockdowns. When restrictions were lifted...
Well, probably just because they all got $600 and they were like, woo, I'm rich!
Yep.
Very likely. A lot of people did buy televisions with their stimulus checks instead of cryptocurrency, as I suggested.
Well, you suggested it.
Yep. And it's not financial advice, but if you go back and look, that if you bought $1,200 worth of Bitcoin in May of 2020, I think it was, then you're sitting nicely in the black at this point.
Yeah, wasn't there a website that was tracking it, too? I don't remember what that was called.
There was a Twitter handle.
Okay.
Bitcoin Stimulus, I think, was the handle.
Okay.
I don't remember now. When restrictions were lifted, people rushed back to their favorite restaurants and travel destinations, again, I don't know where Wall Street Journal is getting this, but that is absolutely not what I saw. As someone who did, in fact, do a lot of traveling in 2020, especially the last half, where I went to my first ever music festival, well, my first ever big music festival that lasted more than a day, I didn't see any of this stuff.
I went to like 11 states in 2020, and I didn't see any of this stuff.
No. And people kept on spending, helped by government stimulus, flush savings accounts, and cheap credit, even as inflation picked up. I don't know what savings accounts they think Americans have. The average American lives paycheck to paycheck and has no savings.
Only 40% can have savings.
Yep. Faced with four-decade high inflation last year, Americans outspent it. Through most of 2022, consumer spending growth exceeded price increases by about 2 percentage points. So even taking into account inflation, Americans were spending more money than ever last year in 2022. But now the forces that helped keep spending high are unwinding while inflation remains elevated. The share of monthly income America set aside for savings was 3.4% in December, down from 7.5% a year earlier and a record high in April of 2020.
So of those people who do save, which was, or we already know is less than half of the population, they're only saving three and change percent per month.
Yeah, a tiny amount of
money. Half of what it was.
You're never going to retire on at 3.4% savings.
Doesn't seem like it.
And that's down from 7.5%. 7.5% still isn't great. If you got a company match for up to 100% up to 6% or whatever, that's, you could probably retire for that after 40 or 50 years. But just 7.5% of your own money, you're not retiring from that. Credit card interest rates have been rising, and Federal Reserve officials have signaled that they plan an additional quarter percentage point increase to the central bank's benchmark rate this week, that means. But it would bring the rate
it
to...
It means the price of loans is going to go up again. And it's gone up, I believe, a record amount in the last year. They've just been raising it every single meeting that they have.
Which means it makes it harder for people out there to get loans. It raises the rate of interest on your credit card payments. And most Americans are putting a lot of stuff on their credit cards.
Raises your home loan.
It makes it more difficult for you to get that. What's the buy now, pay later thing?
Yeah, no, it's buy now, pay later. That's the name of the technology. There's companies that
do it. Oh, like
Klarna.
Yeah, it makes all of that more expensive. And it's got some neat little graphs here that, you know, they're alarming. I can't show them to you, but they're alarming graphs. And it's not looking good.
We're going to continue here in moments.
But the United States evaded a slump.
Well, now it's going down, apparently. And if you want to comment on what you're seeing out there in the stores, on the streets, with inflation and the economy, you can join us. I know I'm still seeing the help wanted, help needed signs everywhere.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.